Welcome back. 4:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Welcome to Thursday afternoon. Great to have you along. Look who just wandered into the studio. John Solomon, who happens to be, among other things, executive editor of the Washington Guardian. And one of your stories caught my eye this morning, Taken for a Ride. But before I get to that, your name has come up on the national level today because of an attachment to this whole Bob Woodward story. And I wanted to kind of explain it because I think Lanny Davis was the guy who brought it up, and obviously Lanny used to write for this paper.
He did, yep. He was a columnist there. And back in 2009, he wrote some columns that challenged his own party and Obama on certain issues, and he was quoted in one of our stories about a donor perk system that had been developed at the White House under Obama, which sort of contrasted with all of his promises that big money wouldn't have access in his White House. And all of a sudden, shortly after all that happened, I got a call one day from a very senior administration and official and said, hey,
Gene Sperling.
I can't tell you who it is under the rules of journalism I agreed to have the conversation under, but I can certainly tell you the details because...
Oh, come on. Nobody's listening.
There's just a few million people out there, right? So here's what happens. Hey, John, we're really looking out for you, and we're really worried about this guy, Lanny Davis, who's writing in your paper. We think he has a problem with some lobbying registration records, and you wouldn't want to tarnish the newspaper's reputation by continuing to have him in there. And so I said, well, that's kind of interesting. Very interesting that a Democratic White House would be concerned about the future well-being of the Washington Times. So I said, well, let me take the details, and I'll do my own research. And I did the research, went and did the records myself, and came back, and he had been registered. He was fine. I talked to Lanny. I told him what had happened. He said, oh, they're really mad at me for taking him on. And I called the guy back and said, listen, I looked at it. I appreciate you watching our back, but he's staying in the paper, one. And two, there's nothing there. I got the records. Would you like me to fax the records over? No, that's okay. So I thought the matter was over. About 2 days later, another senior official, slightly more senior official, called me back and said, you know, I just want to let you know, this is just a friendly thing, watching out for you. I always like the watching out for you part of this.
Right.
We think, it's not in the long-term interest to have Lanny in your paper. He's got a lot of controversy. We don't think I don't know if he's the word credible, but some word like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, as far as I learned, the First Amendment stopped at government's edge, and we're a newspaper. We make our own decisions, and I don't think we have anything more to discuss. And it went away after that. But it felt like a clear attempt at trying to silence a Democrat who was criticizing the administration. He was off script for the rest of the party. And he made a great columnist for us in that way because it showed that there weren't all these monolithic people that had drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. You know, one of the parts of the Woodward story that really stands out to me is the fact that the Washington Post didn't even have it in the morning edition. They didn't even put the story up. This is a national story.
Absolutely.
That blew up yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
And they didn't even cover their own guy until 10:30 this morning. They didn't post anything on their website until 10:30 this morning. What does that tell you about the left and how far in the tank they can go for this president?
You know, it's scary to me. And many times Bob has had good stuff. He's a great reporter. I got to work with him when I was there at the Post years ago, and he's one of the best, and he's an honest broker. And there have been many times where he's had real news, and the Post is the last person to get it. Here's another great example. Is it, is it the left controlling the Post? Is it reporters are lazy? Or is it that some in the newsroom resent him because he's so high profile? Now, it's probably, from my experience, a little bit of all three.
I got you. All right, I want to take you to the story that you guys have been working on. Taken for a Ride,
right?
Obviously, big budget cuts coming tomorrow.
Right.
Well, if the sequester goes into effect, and we all know it's going to. All right, we've got some government higher-ups that really won't be affected when it comes to the use of government jets,
I
understand correctly. Give me the players. Who's involved in this?
Well, the top two law enforcement officers of the land, FBI Director Robert Mueller and Attorney General Eric Holder.
All right. So what are they doing?
Well, many years ago, they went to Congress and said, we have this terrible war on terror. The FBI can't get the hot spots quick enough because we only have a tiny little jet. We'd like to get a corporate-style jet, a Gulfstream. We'll use it just for war on terrorism.
Sure. You can send that anywhere in the world in a hurry, and it seats up to 16.
And every year when they requested the budget money, they'd put a couple great stories. We flew guys to Afghanistan under fire and all. It was great.
Right.
Congress thought it was being used for terrorism.
Uh-huh.
A little problem. 60% of the time it wasn't used for terrorism. It was used for ferrying about Attorney General Holder and FBI Director Mueller on their personal and business trips. Almost 100 personal trips aboard a government aircraft that costs a whole lot of money. How much? Over the last 4 years, $11 million for their for just the trips of Mueller and Holder, the cost of the plane.
Wow. Now, it occurs to me, by them using the planes at the inopportune moment, it could hamper some type of legitimate operation.
And it did. One of the documents I obtained last night, there was an incident in 2011 where Holder had taken the plane across country, and the counterterrorism agents had a major operation going on to capture a terrorist, and the plane wasn't available, and they had to go out. We own two of these, right? They're both out. They had to go out and charter a private plane at more expense to the taxpayer, even though the two planes that were supposed to be there for them were out doing other stuff.
Wow. Any response from the DOG when questioned about it?
Yeah, very much like the Woodward response. You're going to be sorry you reported this story, but we're not sorry.
Man, you're in all kinds of trouble today.
Yeah, it's a fun place to be.
Yeah. Any idea of cost to the taxpayer?
Just for the personal and the trips, just for the Attorney General Holder and McCasey, his predecessor, and Bob Mueller, it's $11.4 million the last 4 years.
Wow.
That's just the fuel and maintenance cost for the jet. The jet costs about $50 million. And the real cost to the American taxpayer is that they were sold one reason for this, and it's being seen as a totally another reason, and it's part of the culture of entitlement we see in Washington. You get into high positions and you think you are owed all these perks.
Yeah. And to add insult to injury, if I understand correctly, they actually have to take the airplane, move it from its secret location,
right,
fly it into National, pick up Mueller or Holder, and then
I can tell you where I know where the secret location is, and it's about a 15-minute hop from there to Reagan. And
so,
those little trips cost
$1.5 million
just to make that little tiny trip to make it easier for them to get on the plane.
Absolutely. One final note.
Sure.
Senator Chuck Grassley, he's obviously not happy. I noticed that you quoted him in the story. What can he do, though?
Well, he's the ranking member on the Judiciary Committee. He can hold up their budget. He can ask the chairman to hold hearings. I think this is an issue that's bipartisan. It is. Attorney General McCasey, Bush's last one, also did this. There's a question why they do it. The White House has given an order saying we believe both of these men should be on government planes at all time. Before that, Bob Mueller liked to fly commercial, but now the White House won't even let him fly commercial. I think the Oversight Committee can ask questions and say, is this a rational policy? And how about we tighten up some of these expenditures? How about when they go on personal trip, they go on a plane with a security detail. There's a lot of things that can be done, and Senator Grassley signaling he wants to do them.
All right. Out of time, but I know you're going to follow up on this story. Please let me know what develops, will you?
We'll have another fun one tomorrow. You won't believe where the jet was today on the eve of sequester. So we'll follow up tomorrow. Oh, it's on a special trip today.
And make a note. We got to talk about it tomorrow. All right. Very good. John Solomon, thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
See you later. John Solomon, executive editor of the Washington Guardian. You can check it out at Washington Guardian or go to WashingtonTimes.com. Saw it there just a little while ago. 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.